And here he is, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you very much. You notice the great difference when I take a bow, Harry, between my bow and the Hollywood comedian bow. My hair doesn't come off. You notice that? But thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Mr. Von Zell, for that semi-derogatory introduction.
Oh, well, then, well, I was only kidding, Fred. You know, having a little fun.
Oh, all you announcers are always having a little fun, Harry. Well, I guess that's radio. The announcers have the fun and the comedians have the worry.
Oh, no. Now, wait a minute, Fred. You can't prove that.
I can't, hey? Now, look, Harry, did you ever compare the announcers and the comedians on the different radio programs? Did you ever see Don Wilson?
Not all of him, Fred, no.
Well, that proves my point. You can't see all of Don Wilson in one look. He looks like the Hollywood Bowl with a vest on it.
Yes, Don is pretty stout.
Stout? Wilson has so many double chins, Harry. He looks as though he's peeking over a skin Venetian blind. On the other... Friends of Benny, I see. It's a good radio problem. Which came first, the egg or the commercial? I mean, On the other hand, Harry, speaking about comedians and announcers, did you ever take a look at the comedian on the Don Wilson program, that Jake something? Have you ever taken a gander at him?
No, Fred. What does that jello comedian look like?
Have you ever seen one of those pictures, Send This Boy to Camp?
Yes, I've seen them.
Well, this fellow looks like the negative, Harry. Yes, it's the same on every program. Now, take the Bob Hope show. Bill Goodwin is the picture of health. Have you seen Bob Hope lately?
Now, what does Bob look like?
Hope is starting to look like Yehudi, Harry.
Oh, wait a minute, Fred. Nobody's ever seen Yehudi.
Well, that's it. Hope looks like something nobody's ever seen. And look at you, comparison. Look at you. Now, you can't get much more of you in that skin, Harry.
All right, I have picked up a little weight,
oh,
yes.
Harry, if you stay in the sun too long with that fat, you won't get burned. You'll be rendered.
Hi, gang.
Hi, Van.
You mind if I use the mic a minute? I've got to audition for a movie producer.
Audition for a movie producer? You mean some company wants you for a picture, Pete?
I don't think it's a company. Some man named Saul called me up.
Saul what, Pete?
He just said Saul, Harry.
Saul? Why, that could be an offer from any company. What picture does Saul want you for?
Saul said it's a new Geronimo picture. Love Finds Andy Geronimo or something.
Oh, the new Geronimo.
Oh, boy.
I haven't seen the old one yet.
Huh?
Go ahead, sit down, thanks.
So you want to audition in India, now, Pete?
Yes, Saul said he'd listen in.
Oh, to the Indian audition? Well, go ahead, okay.
Thanks. Hello, Saul. Stand by for my Indian characterization. Oh, okay, Saul.
I didn't think he could do it.
Yeah, played just the way I thought it would, too.
There was some Indian, Pete.
It's hard to get an Ugg to lay there. It's so small. It gets so
It's in the bag, Harry.
Well, when do you know now that this Indian audition over? When do you know if you got the job? When do you hear from Saul?
You see that telephone, Alan?
Yes.
In a minute, that telephone's going to ring.
And when the telephone rings?
That's Saul, brother.
I get it. And while we wait for Saul's call, we turn to the latest news of the week. Ipana News presents The World in Review. Los Angeles, California. This week's graduation exercises are held at the University of California and many other colleges throughout the country. From coast to coast, honor students at leading universities are acclaimed. But what about the outstanding morons of 1940? Tonight, Ipana News brings you a motley group of dunces from little-known schools that dot the hinterland. Now, first on our Schlemiel parade... Mr. Balfour Rugg,
Mr. Rugg, you are a graduate of...
Crovney's Chemical College.
Crovney's Chemical College. You were an honor student, were you?
Yes, I graduated magna cum laudanum.
You did, really?
And I received my B.A.
Your B.A. in chemistry?
Yes, Bachelor of Acids.
That will account for those holes in your vest. You're messy with precipitates, I see. Well, tell me, what was your negative contribution to chemical trivia, Mr. Rugg?
I broke down the chemical formula for sulfonylam oxide.
Well, that must have been some job.
I was in the lab 24 days a night.
You didn't eat?
I was living on fumes.
You were inhaling your nourishment, were you?
Yes, my nose gained 4 pounds.
And how did you finally break down the formula for sulfonylam oxide?
Well, first I isolated the formula for sulfonyl, H2SO4P.
Yes?
And then I subtracted the formula for hemoxide, NaClU.
And subtracting NaClU from H2SO4P gave you?
PU.
Remarkable. You will go high in chemistry circles, Mr. Rugg. Have you obtained a job yet?
Yes, I'm starting to work tomorrow.
You have found a niche in this busy world where your vast store of chemical knowledge will be called into play?
Yes, I'm to be assistant chemist in full charge of liquid anesthesia.
Where?
At Maxie Rosenblum's.
At Maxie Rosenblum's? Well, what will you, as an assistant chemist in full charge of liquid anesthesia, do in a nightclub?
I shall mix Mickey pins.
You will, really? Well, you may not win friends, but you will certainly influence people. Thank you, Mr. Balfour Rugg. The students... The student who took the longest to graduate from a correspondence school is Malachi Kelp. Now, what course did you take, Malachi?
How to play the saxophone in 20 easy lessons.
In 20 easy... Well, how...
20 easy...
That's 40 easy lessons or just 20?
Single 20.
A single 20. Well, how long did it take you to master the 20-lesson course?
20 years.
20 years? Why?
Well, I'm a lighthouse keeper, see?
Yes.
And the supply boat only stops at the lighthouse once a year.
Oh, and that's why...
Yes, sir. After my saxophone came, I had to wait a year for each lesson. It took me 20 years to finish the course.
And now that you have completed this course, what can you play?
One song. Kiss Me Again.
You play that, do you? Fine. And you are going to play... You're going to play it for us tonight, Malachi?
Yes, sir. If it was just a minute, I'd like to wet my reed. It's okay.
Well, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you will now hear a saxophone solo played by a man who has studied his instrument alone in a lighthouse for the past 20 years.
20 years.
All right. All right, Malachi.
Okay. Kiss me again. All right.
Wait a minute. What is this?
Something wrong.
Yes, this song isn't all there. You played 4 notes, then you skipped 4 notes.
Oh, well, yeah, well, that's that dang lighthouse.
The lighthouse?
Yeah, the light goes round and round. It's light 1 minute and dark the next.
Well, I know, but how does that...
Well, you see, every time I started to practice, I'd play 4 notes, then the light would swing around, and I'd miss 4 notes. Then the light would come back, and I'd play 4 notes, then the light would go out.
And I hope you will go out now to keep the light company.
Well, it was a horrible experience.
Yes, it was. Thank you, Malachi. As a lighthouse musician, I know you will bring home the beacon. And now, last and by all... Quiet, please. We've got things to do here. And now, last and by all means least, a young lady who is outstanding in her class, Miss Bubbles Rappaport. And your alma mater, Bubbles?
I'm graduating Mrs. Rabinowitz's finishing but positively school.
You were the moving spirit in the class of 1940, Bubbles?
Socially, I'm excelling. Studying, I'm surpassing.
You studied languages, did you?
Nasty pa?
Nasty pa?
This is French.
Oh, I see.
French, I am speaking like a pheasant.
I sense the foul inflection, as you can see.
Uh-huh. Sic transcript Gloria Rooney.
Well, what is that?
This is Latin, also a language.
Oh, is it really? I don't get around much. I wouldn't know.
Well, Latin, I am talking like a lat.
Well, you, at school, you belong to all the sororities, of course.
Of course. Sigma Kaplan. Alpha Phelpha. And Delta Schmelta.
Well, something tells me that you were the life of the graduation exercises, Bubbles.
Of course. I am the bachelorette.
Really?
I am the valedictorian. And personally, I am reciting the class poem. Which, by a coincidence, I am writing personally.
Well, that is a coincidence, isn't it? Tell me, what was the title of your class poem, Bubbles?
Was willst du, girls of 1940?
How does it go?
Was willst du, girls of 1940... As out into the world you go, some to Scranton, some to Oakland, some to Cleveland, Ohio. Girls, will you go into business? Will you travel, take a tour? Will you turn to monkey business? Thinking of l'amour, toujours. Was willst du, girls of 1940, facing life, don't play the fool. Let our motto be Eureka! Girls of Rabinowitz finishing but positively school.
Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Merry Macs raid the hit parade of 1890 and sing for you their version of My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean. Thank you. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to open what we believe to be the first museum of the air. So if you'll all stand back, please, we'll officially christen it by gently tapping this bottle of water on the cornerstone. The museum is now open and wet. And here we have the finest collection of vanishing Americans extant. Straight ahead of you is Lo, the Poor Indian. You'll notice our vanishing Americans are all wired for sound. Now, over here to the left is the village blacksmith. And over there you see the man and woman who don't know.
Who don't know what, Fred?
Who don't know why they should take care of their gums as well as their teeth,
oh,
Harry.
Oh, well, because they certainly belong in your museum, Fred, because those Americans are vanishing rapidly. Because thanks to the educational work that's being done by dentists and modern school teachers, more and more people every day are realizing the value and the necessity of healthy gums to sound teeth. And we're mighty proud of the part Ipana toothpaste is playing in that education. You see, Ipana is designed to do more than just clean and brighten your teeth. For when used with massage, it stimulates and helps strengthen your gums. And that's very important. Many modern dentists say,
when our gums are tender and soft, our teeth are seldom bright and sparkling. And the creamy, well-cooked foods we eat nowadays do not give our gums the exercise and stimulation they need.
Thank you. Peter and all the cads have just given you the Reader's Digest version of Copenhagen. And now, ladies and gentlemen, our guest tonight...
Hello!
Hello! Hello, Portland. I didn't hear you come in.
No, my new shoes are pretty quiet. They're wedgies.
Wedgies, huh?
Huh?
Those are the new shoes with the built-in fallen arches, aren't they? The wedgies.
Yes. The girls are going round with bigger heels this summer.
Well, so I see by the gossip columns. I noticed that. Tell me, what have you been doing since you came to Hollywood, Portland?
Well, Mom and I have been playing a new game.
Really? What game?
Well, every night, as soon as it gets dark, Mom and I go out and look up at the sky.
Yeah?
And there are always big white searchlights going back and forth.
I see.
Then Mom and I get in the Ford and drive like 60 to where the lights are.
Where does the game come in?
Every night, the white lights are someplace different. It's a surprise.
Oh, I see.
One night, it was Earl Carroll's nightclub opening.
Yeah?
The next night, it was a theater opening. Yeah. Then it was a fish market closing.
Lights still, huh? Well, that is quite a game.
Yes. And last night, Mom and I saw yellow lights in the sky.
Was that a Charlie Chan opening, the yellow lights?
No, it was a garage on fire.
Well, that broke the monotony of all those openings anyway. Tell me, what do you and your mother do at these affairs?
Oh, we just do what everybody else does.
And what is that?
We go, oh, and ah, and get pushed around by the police.
Yeah? And then?
Then, when the lights go out, we go home with the crowd.
You mean you go to all of these openings and you never go into the theaters or the nightclubs?
Does something else go on inside, too?
Oh, no, no. Nothing. Only $8 million productions. Oh, never mind. Forget the whole thing or any part of it at your own discretion. Now, what about our guest tonight?
Oh, I didn't get his name, but I think it's that man over there.
Oh, are you the guest star, mister?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, step right over here, brother.
Oh, yes. Yes, thank you.
May I ask your name?
Benny. Jack Benny.
I see. Benny as in Benny Goodman?
No, Benny as in Benny Happy Returns of the Day.
And your first name, you say, is Jock, young man?
No, not Jock. It's Jack.
Oh.
Jack, as in what I'm not getting here tonight.
You, are you a local boy, Mr. Benny? I mean, do you live here, do you?
Oh, no, Mr. Allen. My home is in Waukegan, Illinois.
Waukegan,
yes.
Illinois. Very interesting. That's 35 miles from Chicago, isn't it?
It's 36 and two-thirds, to be exact.
Well, I've never walked from Waukegan to Chicago. I wouldn't know.
I have, and I do.
What is your occupation, Mr. Benny? Pardon me. Would you mind stepping just a little closer to the microphone, Mr. Benny?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm afraid I don't know much about this radio game.
Well, it's nothing to be nervous about, son. We have the same trouble with amateurs every week here. Now, tell me, Mr. Benny, what is your occupation?
I'm a second violinist.
A second violinist. With what orchestra, may I ask?
I was formerly with the Waukegan Philharmonic, Mr. Allen.
Oh, the Waukegan Philharmonic?
Yes, sir.
You specialized in chamber music, did you?
We had our own chairs. We could play any place.
Made it more comfortable that way, didn't
really,
it?
Really, yes.
And you say you were the second violinist in this versatile group?
Yes, sir.
Just a little closer to the microphone.
Excuse me, I seem to get it.
Well, you will in time. It takes time, yeah. Like everything. Now, tell me, Mr. Benny, we want your frank opinion. You don't mind, do you?
Not at all,
you speak frankly to us?
I really do, yes.
Tell us, is there a difference between the first and second violinist?
Oh, yes, Mr. Allen. You see, the second violinist convoys the first violinist through the score. And any notes the first violinist misses in his pizzicatos, the second violinist plays.
Mighty interesting.
Isn't it, though?
Now, Now, as the second violinist in the Waukegan Philharmonic, were you kept pretty busy, were you?
Oh, yes, yes. You see, our first violinist only had one finger on his left hand. He used to miss everything.
After he had given the violin part the finger,
I would follow through.
Well, are you still with the Waukegan Philharmonic, Mr. Bennett?
No, after playing Chocolate Soldier for 15 years, I felt I was getting in a sweet rut.
You did.
So I went into vaudeville.
Vaudeville?
Yes.
Now you're standing too close to the microphone.
Sorry.
Just step back a trifle.
Oh, of course. Sorry. I just don't seem to get the hang of it, do I?
No, you don't. You're slow to catch on, I must say. And with it all, you're so light on your feet, you're here one minute and there the next.
I wish you wouldn't ad-lib, Mr. Allen. I'm on a vacation and I don't want to have to think.
How can you tell when you're on a vacation, Mr.
Shall we continue?
No, Mr. Let's not. I spoke to the man in KFOG. We can buy 15 minutes and go over there later. For the rest of the show. Getting back to vaudeville, Mr. Benny. Did you enjoy your career in vaudeville?
Yes, it was fun until I had to leave.
Ah, you had to leave vaudeville. You had to leave. Why?
I left the vaudeville, Mr. Allen, because a certain juggler killed it.
You were no iron lung yourself. Now tell us, where were you when vaudeville died?
I was in Santa Monica, so I came east to Hollywood and went into the picture business.
Right, you went into the picture business.
Yes,
now, in what branch of the motion picture business did you engage? Ushering or marquee tinkering or something of that sort?
Neither. I started as an actor, defied the trends, and I'm still an actor today.
That is one man's opinion, Mr. Banning.
Two men's. I have an agent, you know.
A super salesman, I wager. Well, tell me, Mr. Benny, what sort of roles do you play in pictures?
He-Man. I've been typed. You...
Whoever typed you should have changed the river.
Good.
Yes, it was. I thought it surprised me coming in the middle of a dank spot there. It was outstanding. Now tell me, Mr. Benny, in which of your pictures do you feel you reached your peak, if peak?
Well, I would say in Buck Benny Rides Again.
Yes.
The way I handled my horse in that chase sequence. They say the Lone Ranger fainted three times at the preview.
Now, there's one question I would like to ask you about your cowboy roles, Mr. Benny.
I have nothing to hold back, Mr. Allen.
Well, tell me. Now, when you are mounted on your horse, have you ever turned around, looked down, and had the illusion that you are looking into a mirror?
No, Mr. Allen, I'd say the view was about the same as the one I'm enjoying right now.
You're still too close to the microphone. You don't have to snap at it. It's not a lollipop, you know.
Pardon me, I have the same trouble in the movies. I'm always getting too close to the camera.
Yes, you get in the pictures. I've seen you in them. Now, before you go, tell us, have you any immediate plans for your cinema future?
Well, I know I'm letting the cat out of the bag, but I'm going to make a few pictures, a new picture for Paramount.
Oh, another trailer? A spring trailer? Well, bully for you, old man. What is your new picture going to be called?
All This and Benny, Too.
A novel title, something you coined yourself on the lot, I imagine. Well, tell me, what other stars are going to be in this picture with you, Mr. Benny?
Well, there's Mary Martin, lovely girl, Mary.
Oh, charming, but Mary's a girl. Isn't there another male star involved?
Possibly Phil Harris, and Rochester, of course.
Well, isn't that peculiar? I heard a rumor that a certain popular radio comedian, a handsome devil, is to be in this picture with you.
Isn't that Portland Hoffa over there?
Never mind that. Who else is going to be in that picture?
Gosh, she's pretty.
Don't beat around the bush, Benny. Is it or is it not true that a dynamic radio comedian is going to co-star with you in this new Paramount picture?
If you must know, they are trying to palm off a certain louse on me.
Protean artist in mind. Well, Mr. Benny, aren't you just a little bit afraid that this dynamic radio personality might steal your picture?
This louse hasn't stolen anything but his salary for 20 years. Don't get me started, Alan. I'll laugh you so far down in those pants, you'll think you're wearing knickers.
Guess which? Oh, yeah? If I start throwing punches, Benny, your nose will go back and forth across your face so fast, you'll think you're smelling a pendulum.
Now, hold on, Alan! One move out of you, Alan, I'll hit you on the back of the head and buck your teeth.
You're still a little too close to the microphone, Mr. Benny.
Oh, darn it. When will I ever learn?
I often wonder. Well, thank you a lot for this little visit, Mr. Benny. It's certainly been nice getting the lowdown on the lowest lowlife we've ever had on our program.
And I've certainly enjoyed this bit of slumming, too.
Well, good luck to me in your new picture, Mr. Benny.
Thank you, and good luck to me in yours. Good night, Tom.
Good night, Rat. Wait a minute. This isn't vaudeville. He can't come back. You are. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Betty Jane Rhodes, who needs no introduction, really, because Betty Jane was introduced here last week. But just in case you weren't listening, meet Miss Betty Jane Rhodes, who is here to sing All God's Children.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ipana toothpaste will not make any woman the belle of the ball overnight. Ipana toothpaste will not get any man a promotion the very next morning after he first uses it. No dentifrice in the world will do that. But if you're looking for a toothpaste that will make your teeth a lot cleaner and brighter, a toothpaste that will leave your mouth clean and refreshed, this is Mr. and Mrs. Average Man's Round Table, where three persons selected from our studio audience are invited to give their opinions on a question that concerns some prominent issue of the day. These little sessions are entirely unrehearsed. Fred has taken his place, I believe, at the round table.
Oh, I was talking to Miss Livingston, really, Harry.
Oh, is
you
Mary
want to
here?
If you're going
oh,
to
well,
Fred.
Let's have a... Mary, we should have applause for Mary.
I didn't see you there, Mary. I'd have asked you to join our little board of discussion here. But since you're not here, we'll run the board shorthanded, as it were. Portland, if you... If you will kindly open the... Good evening, good evening, good evening. I'm sorry. Portland, if you will kindly open the forum through introducing our first guest.
Yes, Mr. Dario Sabatello from Hollywood, California.
Well, good evening, Mr. Sabatello.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
Is this gentleman with you? Are you with Mr. Sabatello? Oh, you're taking care of Mr. Sabatello. So nice of you to come with your secretary, Mr. Sabatello. But tell him... Mister, those agency men are all over. Tell me, are you in the business here in Hollywood?
Well, I am the assistant to the head of a foreign department in the Warner Brothers studio.
Oh, handling publicity for pictures that are released in foreign countries?
Yes.
I see. Well, is that business very thriving today? Is it... How do they do with some of those pictures now, where the money isn't good outside of the borders of the country? Do they pay for their picture rentals and commodities?
Well, not yet, Miss Allen.
Well, it hasn't come to that yet.
We hope it will never come to that.
Well, no, it would be rather embarrassing if you were working in that department and received your salary in commodities, wouldn't it? If barter set in?
Should say so.
And you went over to Warner some Saturday and they gave you a due bill on the farmer's market for... Well, thank you a lot, Mr. Sabatello. And now, Portland.
Miss Marjorie Levy from Los Angeles, California.
Well, good evening, Miss Levy.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
Are you in pictures, are you?
No, I'm not. I go to school.
Oh, you go to school here? Well, it's so difficult to tell in Hollywood who is going to school and who is in pictures. What school? You go to college, do you?
Yes, I go to UCLA.
UCLA, the University of California.
At Los Angeles.
You graduate this year, did you?
No, I just started. I'm going to be a sophomore next year.
You're going to be a sophomore next year? Well, good. Tell me, what are you studying in college? What do you hope to be when you get out of college?
Well, I don't know. I'm not quite sure.
Oh, you're just going on speculation? And see how it turns out? Well, aren't you studying any particular thing while you're there?
Well, I take an English major, but I don't know how it's going to turn out.
Oh, you take an English major? Do they have English majors there for the girls? Well, of course, if you... that would tend to lead you towards a course in journalism, majoring in English. If you were going in the theater, you would major in bows, naturally. Well, thank you, I'm sorry, I haven't time to plan your career for you, Marjorie, but I know you don't mind, do you? And now, Portland?
Mr. James Rowland from Shenandoah, Pennsylvania.
Oh, from Shenandoah, Pennsylvania, Mr. Rowland. You're from Shenandoah?
Yes, Mr.
What are you doing here in Hollywood, may I ask?
Why, I'm out here for my health, Mr. Allen.
Well, you look healthier than I do. I really... I'm out here and thinking of going someplace else for my health. Well, that brings us to our question. You don't mind, do you, Mr. Rowland? And tonight we discuss, I'm a little pressed for time, as I always am, we discuss a condition that has received considerable attention in the newspapers in recent months. Many authorities claim that the American home is disintegrating and that the rise in juvenile crime and delinquency is the fault of parents who fail to center the child's interests in the family and in the home. Now, next month, in certain areas here around Los Angeles, a curfew law is going into effect, and all children under 16 will be required by law to be in their homes by 9 p.m. Now, our question tonight is, do you think that the curfew law should be made nationwide and children under 16 in every city be kept in their homes after 9 p.m.? Now, Mr. Sabatello, how do you feel about it?
Absolutely, I agree, Mr. Allen.
You are in favor of the curfew law, are you?
Yes.
Why? Do you think that it will make for better home life around the country?
Sure, I think so.
Keep children home and instill their interest in the home, the parents, and the family heart. Is that it?
Yes, Miss Allen.
It is. You just don't want to have the curfew blow just to hear the thing blow. No, sir. Well, how do you feel about it, Miss Levy?
Well, I don't think that there should be a curfew law all over the United States.
You don't?
No, because girls between 14 and 16 are just beginning to go out. I don't think it's fair.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You have until 9 o'clock, according to the curfew law we have here. Now, wouldn't you rather sit at home with your family at night than to go out to a moving picture and spend 2 or 3 hours with the Hardy family? Wouldn't you?
No.
You would? Well, I would hate to be home when you arrive home tonight, Marjorie. It'll be a little difficulty getting in, I'm sure. Well, how do you feel about the curfew law, Mr. Rowland?
I approve.
You approve of the curfew law. Well, I'm afraid I have to... our committee stands, and I'm firmly convinced that since all of us are still sitting here where we were when we started, we have gotten no place at all tonight. Personally, I don't know whether a curfew law would help or not. I have enough trouble with my own family and Benny without butting into other people's business. Now, after this curfew discussion tonight, I will be lucky if some kid doesn't hit me over the head as I'm going home later this evening. On this note of cranial trepidation, our forum is closed, and thank you all a lot for your kind help. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Merrimacks sing for you a number called La Paloma from the cigar of the same name. Now, now the Mighty Allen R Players. Tonight they present for you a dilemma of the movie studios called The Million Dollar Smile, or The Tooth Will Out. Playback, maestro.
Attention, all departments, Titanic Pictures. Mr. Allen leaving story conference on way to see Rushes. Stand by.
Attention, all departments, Titanic Pictures. Mr. Allen leaving Rushes on way to water cooler to take aspirin. Stand by.
Attention, all departments, Titanic Pictures. Mr. Allen can't find Dixie Cup on way to office.
Ah, good morning, Miss Cast.
Good morning, F.A.
What became of the studio Dixie Cup, Miss Cast?
It's on stage A. One of the dancing girls fainted.
Gad, what a studio. 400 employees and one Dixie Cup.
Well, you said to cut down expenses, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did. And one Dixie Cup for 400 people is plenty. Now, I want that Dixie Cup chained to the water cooler.
But suppose an actor faints.
If an actor faints, he can be carried to the water cooler. We've got plenty of actors, but only one Dixie Cup.
This economy wave is going too far.
Too far? I haven't even started yet. Take a memo. All pictures in production must be reduced. I want my new epic, Hurricane Over Hollywood, cut down to Breeze Over Brentwood. Call in Grapes of Wrath and remake it with raisins.
Bromley reporting, F.A.
Check, Bromley. Have you worked out those sequel titles, Bromley?
Yes, sir. I've got them right here.
Fine. Now, what is the sequel title for that picture, I Take This Woman?
You Can Have Her.
Very good. The sequel for You Can't Take It With You?
Don't leave it here.
20 Mule Team?
Whoa!
You've done a great job, Bromley.
Thank you, sir. I can find a sequel to anything, you know, sir.
Fine. Well, well, you can find a sequel to this job, Bromley. You're fired.
Thank you, sir. Goodbye. What was that?
You're fired, Bromley.
Oh, goodbye.
Well, Bromley should get himself a finish if he comes in again. Well, that cuts $28.50 off the payroll, Miss Cash.
Oh, the receivers won't be satisfied with that.
Ah, the receivers. Titanic isn't bankrupt yet. I have one picture in production that will pull us through. It's a revolutionary idea.
Really?
It's sensational. I have got a new biographical slant, Miss Cash. Now, the other companies who made Pasteur, Al, Graham Bell, Lilly Russell, and the others waited until these people had passed away. Now, Titanic is making a part of a celebrity's life while the celebrity is still living.
What's the name of your picture?
Young Don Amici. I am doing the first part of Don Amici's life, hot from his diary. I'll do the rest of Don Amici's life in installment as he lives it according to our contract.
Who's starring in the picture?
Titanic's child sensation, Little Mickey Fink. The boy with the million-dollar smile.
Oh, he has a beautiful smile.
Oh, Mickey Fink's smile is box office adrenaline, Miss Cast. When Mickey skins that china in young Don Amici, Titanic's ship will be in. If that's young Dr. Kildare, tell him to leave a pint of blood.
Sorry to bother you, F.A.
Well, Uncle Felix, my B director, what's wrong?
I gotta have 6,000 extras right away to finish my picture.
6,000 extras to finish what picture?
That scenario I found on your desk. I'm making it. It's full of mob scenes.
Mob scenes?
Yes. In the first scene, there are 200 characters named Adams. In the second scene, 300 named Brown. In the third scene, 1,500 people named Cohen.
1,500 people named Cohen? What story is that?
I found it on your desk.
Let me see that scenario.
Yeah.
Cad, you idiot. You've shot the first 30 pages of the Hollywood telephone book.
Gee, it looked like a great story.
You'll pay for this, you simpleton. You may be my uncle, but you're...
Fired?
Yes. Turn in your suede jacket and beret to the front office.
Yeah, Chief. Republic, here I come.
Cad. Blood may be thicker than water, but it isn't thicker than relatives. I'll be glad when young Don Amici is finished and Titanic's troubles are over.
You mean I'm going to start getting paid again?
The minute young Don Amici is in the can, we'll all be out of the bucket. Why, with that kid's million-dollar smile, this picture will clean up.
This is the star that is breaking my back.
I'm the star of the picture.
I am quitting.
Go ahead and quit.
I am tearing you him from limb.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, boys. Von Bernberg. You, Mickey Fink, why aren't you two finishing young Don Amici?
Well, Von Bernberg is directing. The kid here is refusing to act.
This greaseball is close-up happy.
Don't get cocky, Mickey. Remember, you're only a child star. I can loan you out as an errand boy, you know.
I'll get a longer run as an errand boy than I'll get in your pictures.
You see, that's how he is, F.A. Snippy like a scissors here.
Never mind that. What is holding up our picture, the young Don Amici?
What's holding up? The Doomcup is holding up. In the very well scene, what happens? He is not smiling.
He is not smiling?
No.
Why, that million-dollar smile is your trademark, Mickey. Why, without your smile, young Don Amici is ruined.
I know, F.A. I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah. I am directing him to smile. He is making with the mouth via an oboe player like that. Ooh.
Mickey, you have got to smile. Now, if you... Watch it, Vaughn. If you don't... If you don't finish this picture, Mickey, Titanic is ruined.
But I can't smile, F.A.
You can't smile? Why? Has your mother told you your salary, son?
No, it's not money.
Well, then come, Mickey. Let's see you smile. Skin those lovely fangs.
If I smile, you'll be sorry.
Oh, come on, Tyke. Smile.
All right.
Your mouth, Mickey.
I told you.
Himmel, was as low as with the tootsies.
I can't smile. My first teeth are coming out.
Gad, molar senility is setting in. How many teeth have you got left, Mickey?
Only one. Look.
One tooth. None of that.
Your gums look like an elk wearing a red vest.
You're telling me. And this one tooth is only hanging by a thread.
This is a bicuspid calamity, boys. How much of young Don Amici is shot?
One scene more only and the picture is finished.
We've got to make this final scene instantly, Vaughn. What a business. The future of a picture studio hanging by a tooth.
Yeah. I can't have that.
Don't talk.
Don't even breathe, Junior. What stage are you working on, Vaughn?
Stage B.
Well, come on, Mickey. Let's go.
Hold the lips together, Mickey.
Don't even pucker, son. A single twitch may be fatal.
Here we are, stage B.
Hello, and quiet, everybody. We've got to shoot this final scene with little Mickey Fink right away. On the set, Cass.
Okay, sound.
Okay.
All set, camera.
Okay.
What is this fade-out scene, Von Bernberg?
Well, young Don Amici is leaving his hillbilly home to become an actor.
Yes?
His father and mother object, but Don whistles for his dog and Danny goes. As we are fading out, Junior turns to the camera, gives out with that million-dollar smile, and walks over the hills towards Hollywood.
Sure fire. Let's go.
Okay, everybody.
Okay, Von
Bernberg. Hold on, camera. Action, Mickey. Make us give you.
Goodbye, Pa and Ma Amici.
Where are you off to, Danny boy?
I'm going to Hollywood, Pappy. I'm going to be a movie actor.
You mean one of them dudes with shoes?
You bet, Ma. You're going to hear from Don Amici. First thing I'm getting is a swimming pool.
Swimming pool? That's done it, son.
You ain't mad, Pa.
Darn hopping I'm mad. Any boy who's that crazy about water ain't no son of mine. You can get.
I'm getting. So long, Ma.
Don't forget your dog, son.
That's right. Where's Samson? Come, dog. Come, Samson.
Amici, a fiasco. Titanic is sunk.
Only two more lines and the picture would have been finished.
Just a minute. How long will it take your stand-in teeth to grow in, Mickey?
6 months.
I can't hold up young Don Amici for 6 months. Why, wait a minute. Gad, I've got it.
What, Effie?
False teeth.
False teeth?
False teeth?
Yes, false teeth. With false teeth, Mickey, your million-dollar smile will be saved.
But I can't wear false teeth. My gums are sore.
Only for 2 minutes, then the picture is finished.
Yes, Mickey, you've got to come through. What do you say, son?
Sure. I'll be a sport. But where do I get the false teeth?
I will order them right away.
We can't wait for that. No. I've got it, Vaughn. Mickey can use my uppers. I'll take them out.
Oh, there. What? Oh, they are looking wunderbar. Slip them in, Mickey. The tooth is so fitting, yeah?
A little big.
Oh, wonderful. Look at that smile.
I can't close my mouth.
Who will know? Now you can smile that million-dollar smile. We are finishing the picture. F.A., but how did you think of it? What strategy?
Strategy will always save the prison weapon. Let's go, toys.
gentlemen, before our preview of...
Hey, folks, get your book of the broadcast. You'll never know what the show's been about without this book. Hey, folks, hey,
ladies and gentlemen, before...
All Fred Allen's jokes explained with maps and blueprints. Get your copy now, folks. Hey, folks.
Now, just a minute, my friend, if I may call you that. Is that incendiary literature dedicated exclusively to me?
Oh, no, Mr. Allen. This book covers the entire show, explains everything. One chapter, called What's Wrong with the Theater, is dedicated to the mighty Allen Art Players. Everything's explained.
Well, tell me, what's the lowdown on Harry Von Zell?
Well, we didn't include him in the book, Mr. Allen, because everything he says is pretty concise and to the point. You know, when he says you ought to take sal hepatica if you start the day off all wrong, that makes sense.
Well, thank you, my unknown friend. And the reason it makes sense is because so many physicians recommend sal hepatica. And because this famous sparkling saline gives you a faster comeback. In the first place, as a laxative, sal hepatica is quick-acting, yet very gentle. In the second place, sal hepatica also helps counteract excess gastric acidity, which chases that sickish feeling fast. So, ladies and gentlemen, get a bottle of sal hepatica from your druggist and simply put 2 teaspoonfuls in a glass of water and drink it. See how soon a sluggish, under-par feeling gives way to a brighter, more normal one when you take gentle, quick-acting sal hepatica.
Thank you. We're not a little late, ladies and gentlemen. We're a lot late, so thank you and good night.
Good night.